Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I'm very excited because we have a wonderful guest on this week's episode, Carrie Jokala. She is a Reiki practitioner. She's a fitness instructor. She's a mom. She's a podcast host. She does a ton of different stuff, and we talk about Reiki and energy. And we talk about a lot of things, and she tells us about her journey with both working in fitness and then also with Reiki, and it's just really interesting. So if you've never heard of Reiki, she kind of explains what it is. It's energy healing, energy flow, very interesting stuff, and the way she explains it is really cool. So get excited to learn about that. And I feel like there's a lot of different ways to say this word. And I think I was saying it wrong, actually, and I was trying to say it right, but I've heard two different pronunciations. So I'm sorry to all the Reiki or Reiki masters out there that I'm butchering the name. So it's either Reiki or Reiki, and I keep hearing both. So
it's Reiki.
I thought it was Reiki, but then sometimes people say Reiki, and I feel like when Carrie was saying it, it was almost like a mix between the two. So I think I was close enough. So I'm really excited for everyone to hear about that. And I'm very intrigued about all of this stuff. So, but before we get into that, toast and roast from Casey B and I. So
woo-hoo!
What do you got for a toast, Casey? You sound very excited.
For toast, on Monday, I put the doors, the last doors, finishing touch on our little entertainment center thing in the jig I made.
Yes, you built a beautiful entertainment center. It's so beautiful, and I am just in shock of how good it looks. I'm not shocked because everything you make is gorgeous, but I think it's the coolest thing you've made yet.
It's pretty cool. I really like it. I usually don't like most of the things I make.
For anyone who's a new listener, Casey's a woodworker, and he makes some really great stuff. And he made this entertainment center goes all the way up to the ceiling, and it has doors on it, and then our TV goes on it against it like a wall, and it's burnt wood. So it's just really beautiful. And the reason you made it was because...
Well, we couldn't mount the TV to the wall.
Because we're in a rental.
And
yeah, it would be too heavy and all that stuff. So he built a wall for for us to put the TV on.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
That's awesome. No wires hanging out or nothing. And yeah, I was so happy when I put the doors on, the little finishing touch.
I was happy too. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
What's your roast for the week?
My roast? I feel like everybody at my work is falling apart.
Oh, no.
So we got one guy who has bruised ribs and torn muscles in his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I just always am messed up somehow. It's like my knee was bad week before last, and then I bruised the bottom of my heel last week. Barely fucking walk.
Always something with you, bud.
We have another guy who has some extreme tendonitis in his ankle.
Another guy's arm was broken.
Another guy's, yeah, his bicep was, he broke the tendon that connects the bicep down, lower part of the arm. So he's recovering from surgery on that. Other one has, really bad arthritis he's been dealing with. Who else? Yeah, everyone's just in disarray right now.
Sounds like a time for some healing, rehabilitation.
It is a healing time.
Building back some good energy coming, healing energy.
Yeah, it's been a mess. It's been tough, and it's also been the busiest freaking March that we've ever had at my work. So it's, yeah, it's definitely been a crazy time. Everyone's broken.
Well, my roast is a little bit funnier.
That's good.
Are you excited to hear
it? I'm super excited.
So a lot of my roasts, if you've been listening for a while, come from things that happen when I go on my walk. So yesterday I went on my daily walk and I'm walking up the hill and it's kind of like on the side of the road here. And there is a worker, construction worker, and he is in the tiniest excavator that I've ever seen. It's the tiniest thing. It almost looked like it would be something like a child would use. And if you're not familiar with what an excavator is, it's the one with one arm and one bucket, and it picks up the bucket, swivels, drops it off. But the bucket, I swear to God, the bucket was about the size of a gallon of milk. I'm not even kidding you.
It's a union worker.
It was just, oh my Lord. He's using this tiny, teeny tiny little excavator to dig into the side of this hill. And it just would have been much more efficient, productive, all the things, if he would have just used a shovel and not been in this tiny excavator. Like, and it was just so funny. I was trying not to laugh out loud as I walked by, just because it was just comical. Like, obviously I'm not making fun of him, but it was just a sight to see. And it was moving so slowly, and it was like the gear or something was getting stuck too. And it was just like, just really slowly, kind of like almost like jerking around a little bit. And I'm just like, what are you doing over there? Like, get a shovel and just dig. Like, I swear the bucket was the size of a gallon of milk. I was like, what are you
doing? It quicker with a shovel and a wheelbarrow.
It would have been so much quicker that way. And I was like, this is exactly when people say, you know, work smarter, not harder. And you think, you know, if I bring in a piece of machinery, that's smarter, not working harder. You're making the time expand a lot more with what you're doing, bro. Oh my God, it was just so funny. I'm like, what is going on over there?
It doesn't seem like working smart at all.
It was not working smarter, not harder. It was just the opposite of that. But you could tell, like, it seems like a workaround, but sometimes workarounds come with consequences.
Oh my God.
It was just really funny to see. I wish you guys could all see it. So hopefully I described it good enough.
Because that is hilarious.
It was not my toast. My toast is my highlight of the week. My toast is that I got an iPad and I got Procreate on the iPad, which is an app where you can draw. So I got an iPad with an Apple Pencil and I've started drawing like digital style art, digital drawings, and it is so fun and I'm just enjoying myself so much. I love calligraphy and I really like painting, but I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I think that doing things digitally can look a lot cleaner and stuff, and I felt like it could be a lot more controllable. It's still very difficult. So I'm really learning a lot, but I've already created some things where I'm like, this makes me so happy. And I just love doing new creative things. And it's kind of scary to be a beginner at something, and especially being a beginner at something, like, I want to share it. That's just my personality. I always want to, like, I want the approval of others, which is something I need to work on, but I just get so excited. I'm like, I like it. I hope other people like it. And I've done some good stuff already. So I'm excited to see what comes with this. And so I've been posting some stuff on my Instagram, my personal one. So it's at Lindsay Jo Wilson. And I'll probably do more stuff on the podcast Instagram as well. But it's been really fun so far.
I like watching you.
I bet it's just really calming to watch too. Like, yeah. It's really calming for me to do. Like, I just, while I'm listening to a podcast, or even like if Casey's watching TV or whatever, just a lot of what I've been doing so far is just tracing on top of things. And so it's just very soothing. It's almost like when the craze went around with like adult coloring books, that's how I feel, but I'm making things that I really, really like. So that's my toast. And then, of course, my other toast is this great conversation I got to have with Carrie. So I'm just so excited for everyone to listen. I am excited to have a guest back on the podcast. We haven't had a guest in a little while, and everything she shared just makes me, I feel like I keep repeating myself over and over again, but I just was so lit up while she was talking to me. And there are some moments when, I'll say it right now, I was just kind of almost stunned and I didn't know what to say in response to what she was telling me because I was just trying to process my thoughts more than come back and like keep the conversation going. I just wanted her to keep talking to me, but she says some really great stuff. This is very different than any interview or conversation I've done before. So I'm excited to see what everyone thinks about it. And right after this teeny tiny little break, it'll be my interview with Carrie. So hope you love it. Welcome to the podcast, Carrie Jakala. She is a Reiki practitioner, a fitness instructor, a mom, and the host of the Energy Within podcast. And I am just so excited to have her here today. So welcome, Carrie. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, you pretty much described it. I'm somewhat new Reiki practitioner. I started my Reiki journey last year, kind of in the middle of summer, and I'm level two right now. But and then I've also been a fitness instructor and a personal trainer. Been in that industry for about 11 years. So that one has, I have a little bit more experience, but, and podcast is a little over a year and a half old. I've got two kids, a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. So I'm busy and I'm tired.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You are a busy lady. So I started talking to you over social media and I just love that you are so focused on energy and you talk a lot about Reiki. And so I don't think very many of my listeners are familiar with it. So I'd love for you to kind of just, first of all, explain like, what is Reiki?
Sure. Reiki is described as universal life force energy, and people can essentially, from there, you can assign your own meaning to it, really. There are kind of no rules with Reiki. It's not tied to any religion or anything like that. So for me, I don't incorporate this necessarily on purpose into any of my sessions, so it's not a religious thing whatsoever, but I believe this source comes from God. So that is the source of all the life energy. But then what you do as a Reiki healer is I'm not using my energy to send to you or give to you or help you. I'm a channel. So I'm kind of calling in and asking for that energy to come through me and make its way into. And then Reiki can pretty much be used for literally anything because it works on all levels. It works emotionally, spiritually. People say they even experience physically, and I've experienced a little bit of that myself as well. And they also say that Reiki is intuitive. So I kind of describe it. I think of a conversation that my mom and I had when I was younger. We were kind of laughing, talking about like ibuprofen and aspirin and things like that. And we're like, how does it know where to go? How does it know where you're injured? But that's essentially how Reiki works. It knows where you need it, where the imbalance is, and that's where it'll go and do its work.
Wow. That is such an interesting analogy to put on that, like the aspirin, because I think that's something we all kind of wonder too. Like, how does it know if I have a headache or my back hurts or my foot is broken? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That is a really kind of broad idea. And I am really intrigued by the way that you said, you say that source comes from God, where I think some people might look at Reiki or something similar and say, you know, it's kind of against religion when you say it's up to you, like it can be in flow with that or outside of it. So
I think that's what makes it so accessible is the fact that you can apply anything you want to it. If that's not part of your belief and you don't believe that's where the energy comes from, I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. I have my beliefs, you have yours, and it's still going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're open to the energy end of it, it's still going to work. And I actually had that conversation with a couple of people and even looked up a little bit of that in the beginning of my journey, because I kind of ran into some things that were, I don't want to say were making me question it, but I guess there were a few questions there, like, you know, like, let me just look into this and just see. Right. And you can find for anything on this entire planet, any topic, you can find a million things to support every side.
Yes. Especially now.
Right. So, but that being said, like, I did read some of what is out there saying that, you know, it's not recognized as a true source of healing by certain religions. And then others where, like, an entire site about Christians who do Reiki. Right. And how they liken it. And so it really depends. Everything goes back to your own individual perspective, your own experience, and what you feel comfortable with. So I'm very much someone, especially as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot better at being able to just kind of sit back and accept that the best way to influence somebody else or to enact any kind of positive change is to be the example. So as long as you align with it and it makes sense for you and it's a positive and a good thing and it's helpful, then I say go for it and do it. And if it doesn't align with you, then you don't do it, you know? And all we can do is show people how it works and how it's affecting our lives in a positive way. And then people start to see that. And then they start to question. And then maybe they might change their mind. Maybe they won't. But I don't think we can go in with that expectation or try to force someone to think or feel the same way. So if someone has that reservation, then no, Reiki might not be for you. But I truly believe it fits with anything. And I also believe that, especially if you believe in God like I do, that God is going to show up wherever you're looking for him.
Mm, yes. I love that. We're already getting into it. I just love this. So, one thing I really like that you just said is that it is, if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. If it works for you, that's great. And you want to explore it more. I think now in society, there's a lot of, like, if you don't think this works, that you don't agree with this process, then you're wrong, I'm right. And with healing, which Reiki is like energy healing, I mean, if it works for you, if you're seeing results, whether it's mentally or emotionally, you're seeing those results, like, what does it matter if it's right? Like, who cares what these other people say? So yeah. I really like that. Can you tell us about kind of your first experience in it? Did you go in kind of as a skeptic? Did you go in feeling very open? And then what was the experience like?
I feel like I've always had a little bit of a natural inclination towards, like, just energy and auras. And, like, I've always been, even before I knew what the word was for it, I've always been kind of an empath and picking up on other people's energies and knowing how we can affect each other's energy. Like, I always say that example of when you walk into a room and you can tell without the other person saying a word, you know, they're mad because you can feel it. You can feel the energy. So energy exchange is real. It exists. It happens. You've probably heard of, like, energy vampires, people who either consciously or unconsciously suck the energy and the life out of other people, where you're around them and you feel drained by the end of your experience with them. Right. That's an energy exchange. That, you know, energy is real. It's going back and forth. And I actually, in 2009, and I know the year because it came up as a Facebook memory, is right around when I started looking into Reiki, but I didn't do a whole lot of digging or a whole lot of research. I wasn't quite as self-confident or assertive as I consider myself to be today. And so even though
10 years ago, that's crazy.
Yeah. So even though the internet was clearly available then, it wasn't like it was a brand new thing. I still, you know, what didn't really think of it as a way to find a lot of things, if that makes sense. Like, so I found out that I knew a couple people in person who did Reiki. So I reached out to them. One of them wasn't currently teaching. And the other one, I didn't quite really align with him. Mm-hmm. He was someone that I had gone to grade school with. And while I'm sure he's a fine person today, in my mind, going back to my journey with confidence and struggling with that growing up, I associate him with that time in my life in grade school where I felt mm-hmm. like the outsider, everybody was making fun of me. So I'm like, I don't think he's my teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't do any more exploring after that. So I didn't search the internet. I didn't look up any books. I didn't do anything else. I'm like, well, I guess I've hit a wall. I don't know what else to do. And I just kind of let it fall by the wayside. But I had made a post saying that I was interested in learning energy healing, aura healing, stuff like that. And it kind of fell away. And every once in a while, it would pop into my head, but I wouldn't do anything about it. And then last summer, they say that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm-hmm. My teacher literally appeared to me in my Facebook feed. I was just scrolling through. There's a women entrepreneurs group that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And they had like this day-long thing on like a Wednesday where all these different women who were part of the paid membership that goes with that group were doing half-hour videos, either, you know, teaching something that they teach in their business, or some of them were intuitives, like my Reiki teacher doing card pulls or things like that. And she showed up doing card pulls. And I had watched a couple people, and something about her I just clicked with. And I followed her into her group. Long story short, figured out that she did Reiki. And I'm like, hey, I thought about this years ago. Maybe now's the time. And I did a group session with her, which was super powerful, and had a bit of a funny story around the card that she pulled for me, but we can talk about that later. But I decided, you know, this is it. I think this is my path. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And lo and behold, either the day that I signed up or the day before I signed up for her Reiki One course, that Facebook memory popped up in my feed. Wow. And I'm like, okay, you're my teacher. Let's take my money. Let's
it's
go.
It's time. 10 years in the making.
Yeah. You could call it skepticism. It wasn't that I didn't believe that it was real, mm-hmm. but in the beginning, never having done anything energetically like that, like intentionally trying to move or channel energy, trusting the things that were popping up in my head, images that I thought that I was seeing. It takes a while to trust yourself and be like, right. Okay, am I making that up? Like, right. One of the best examples I can give is you get attuned to each level of Reiki, and that kind of like opens you up to being able to be a better channel for the Reiki with each attunement that you get. And we kind of do a meditation together. Our teacher walked us through meeting our higher selves, which we had done in a previous meditation, but we did it again for this one. And then we just kind of waited for her to call our name, and we knew that it was our time and she was attuning us, and then she'd move on. And my higher self appeared to me and was just kind of swaying a little bit to the beat of the music. And I'm like, okay, all right, sure, that's fine, that's cool. And then we're sharing afterwards, you know, if you saw anything or experienced anything. I'm like, my higher self was kind of just dancing to the beat a little bit. And she's like, I saw a woman dancing around you while I was attuning. And I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
It's that confirmation. You start to get that confirmation when the people that you're doing the Reiki for are like seeing the same thing or feeling something in relation to what you did. And it just affirms like, okay, that first weird thing that popped into my head, that was real. Like that happened because this person saw that too.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. I can totally see though the process when you're beginning. And I think I can be more of a skeptic or just more doubting of myself, but just like, okay, I'm going to try to be really in tune. And then if I were to like see something, I'd be like, yeah, but is that my conscious mind? Is that like, did I put like what?
Right.
Why am I thinking that? That's so interesting that somebody else can like affirm that. And I mean, some people might say that, you know, that they could have skeptic talks about that as well. But I just think that's so interesting. So you kind of, it sounds like you wanted to be a facilitator or a practitioner, that was kind of calling to you more than just being, I don't know what you would call it, like a somebody who's Reiki is practiced on. Does that make sense? Like a client or a...
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's interesting to me that you would go, like, there's something in you that said, I am supposed to be the vessel. And, mm-hmm. but do you get, do people practice on you as well? And you have like your own experiences? Okay.
Absolutely. So I've had a few sessions directly from my teacher, one-on-one sessions, in addition mm-hmm. to the group that we've done. And then a lot of us who were in the class together would practice with each other. So we'd have that experience mm-hmm. back and forth there as well.
Nice.
And it's really interesting too, when you find that even with receiving Reiki from different people, a lot of the same messages keep coming up for you until you actually deal with it, which is kind of neat.
So I've never been in a session. So can you kind of tell me what a regular session looks like? And I think you said you were doing virtual ones as well because of quarantine. So what does that look like? Because like, what do each of these kind of look like?
Sure. So I've actually only ever done and received Reiki virtually.
Wow. And you're still feeling these things. That's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of weird to think like it can work through a screen, but there's a whole thing about the whole part of level two Reiki is where you really level one is kind of about healing yourself. And then level two, you get more into healing others. And then you get attuned to be able to do distance Reiki. So we wouldn't even have to be on a Zoom call. Technically, we could agree on a time, or I could just send it to you whenever I have the time. Mm-hmm. I would sit down and channel that energy to you from all the way across the world. And as long as you are open to it, it will find you and it will do its work. Wow. And there's a whole, like, I'm not good at explaining this, but my Reiki teacher, I interviewed her for my podcast. So she goes a little bit mm-hmm. into like the whole quantum physics aspect of it and how like they can separate. I'm not going to describe this right, but like two atoms that would normally be a part of each other or with each other somehow, like they could put them at opposite ends of the earth, poke mm-hmm. one and the other one moves.
Wow. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Kind of.
Yeah. Or like that whole thing, with a mother's intuition, mm-hmm. you know, you could be in a completely different city from your child and you just suddenly know something's going on, you know, right. like that energy exchange there.
For sure.
So I've never done or received it in person, but the thing, what I do and what I think a lot of Reiki practitioners do when we do a virtual session or a distance session, I'm basically imagining that you are laying in front of me anyway. So I'm still doing what I would be doing if you were physically in front of me. So there's different ways to do it. There are like structured hand positions that you can use.
Mm-hmm. That's what comes to mind when I think of it. Yeah. It's like hands kind of going over, right. not touching, but like going over the body.
Right. Yeah. And what I actually tune into more is going over the chakras. And then if there's a specific area to pay attention to, then I might spend some time there. Like if someone's shoulders are bothering them or something, I might specifically go over the shoulders, but I'm also going to pay a lot of attention to the chakra that relates mm-hmm. to it as well. And I'll go through and do a little bit of a body scan first and try to figure out where I feel like your chakra is calling out to me, like which one is speaking to me the most. One or two typically, because right now I'm only doing mini sessions. So I'm not doing like a full blown mm-hmm. session mm-hmm. on people, but find the one that's kind of speaking to me and then remove, we say detrimental energy versus negative, because there's a whole other discussion we could have about how emotions and all that aren't necessarily positive or negative. They just are. So we need to experience them, but you don't want to mm-hmm. hang on to the detrimental ones. So we go in and we remove that. And then I'll go back in and send in the Reiki energy and fill it back up with the light energy, the life force. Wow. And then I might see or feel different things. My hands tend to do different things. It's, mm-hmm. I hate to use the word weird. I need to find a different word. Because mm-hmm. I don't think it's weird, but I don't have a better word for it. But it's interesting. Like all mm-hmm. the different things that happen every Reiki session is so different for me. There's some things that come up that are starting to be patterns for me that like, okay, this probably means this and that probably means that. Mm. But every person is so unique and individual. So it's always going to be a little different.
And then do you kind of like explain different things that you were feeling or yeah. that you saw to your person? Wow.
Yeah. So afterwards, what I find is helpful, then like, I think it would be silly and it could be a lot more able to be dismissed if we were just to be like, okay, the Reiki's done. See ya.
Right. You feel good? Good. So,
excellent. So I'll always go in and we'll talk a little bit beforehand if there's something specific that the person wants me to focus on. Some people have certain things that they're struggling with. Other people are like, oh, let's just see what comes up. And then we'll talk afterwards. If we talked about something beforehand, I'll probably be drawn to it. But a lot of times too, I'll pick up on something else or I might see something. I don't always hear messages, but every once in a while, like a word or a phrase might pop in. Mm. And from there, we'll discuss like, okay, this chakra spoke to me. Here's what it means. So physically, here's what you'll experience if this chakra is imbalanced. And people start to put some puzzle pieces together. Like, oh yeah, I've been having some stomach issues. That makes a lot of sense that, you know, your sacral chakra is speaking. And you know, I might see different images. Like I've seen flowers pop out. I've seen someone's chakra on fire. I've seen, wow. like I've pulled energy out instead of like just drawing it out. I've like been grabbing and pulling.
Wow.
Almost like pulling scarves out, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen angels come in. I have, I had someone's baby girl that she lost to trisomy 13 9 hours after she was born. Mm. I saw her show up during that woman's wow. Reiki session. That was, I was crying during that one.
Oh my word. Yeah.
So we talk about like what it all relates to physically, emotionally, and you know, kind of what the focus for you should be. Like, you know, it could be a problem that you already knew existed, but you haven't been facing up to, mm-hmm. or maybe we did address it in the Reiki and now you can feel that like, yeah, you feel a release, you feel a little bit better. I've had some of my early Reiki sessions with my teacher. She was always zoning in on my solar plexus, which deals a lot with confidence and fear and stuff like that. And it made me face up to, even though I was teaching about confidence, mm-hmm. I felt like I'm a more confident person. And I know that I am. There were still things that I was struggling with being able to show up as my authentic self and stepping into my true purpose and being a little bit of afraid of pretty much everything. She said one of the sessions she went in, she's like, as soon as I connected with your energy, the first thing I felt was fear, like all the fear of everything, fear of showing up, fear of being seen, fear of not being seen, fear of failure, fear of success. I'm like, okay.
Calling me out.
but it did two things for me. First of all, it made me face up to, okay, there's some stuff that I'm not dealing with here that needs to be dealt with if I want to move forward. And that's why I'm feeling stuck. But I also did feel that release. Like I felt a lot of that fear dissipate because of that Reiki session. Like I felt better. I felt a little more calm and at peace because I had some of that fear energy removed, you know, but then the rest of it is still up to me. Like, it's just not, you're magically cured and you're going to be confident forever. Right. Like, no, there's still work to do, but here, let's get the energy moving again. Kind of like, you know, let's get the blood flowing. Let's get the toxins out of your body. Let's get the oxygen back in. If you want to make it a physical thing, you know, like let's get things moving and then you can start to move forward.
Wow. This is just so interesting to me. I'm just thinking so many things. Like it just seems so similar to like a therapy session, to mm-hmm. even yoga, to like, I mean, some people run and that's when they let their mind yeah. go through all the things, but it's just like helping you get into your thoughts and emotions more and right. just see how people benefit from it so much.
Absolutely.
Wow. And I am just blown away by some of the things that you're saying, like that you saw and like the things that you're feeling, like pulling out the energy, like the scarves, like this is obviously yeah. only audio, but you were pulling them out with your hands and yep. it just made me think, oh my gosh, I could just like, if I could feel like I could see how like sometimes people just need something to like just get out, like an emotion, mm-hmm. not an actual physical pain or anything. It's like
right
pulling it out of there. It's also interesting to me. It's awesome. So what would you say to somebody to like mentally prepare them or emotionally prepare them for like their first Reiki session? Like what's the, especially if there's somebody who is kind of like, I don't know about this, like you yeah. sound kind of woo-woo, like yeah. what's kind of your, what would you say?
So I say really all you have to do to prepare is to be able to get comfortable and get into a meditative state. Worst case scenario, you get a half hour or 45 minutes of right. relaxation.
Right.
And you're going to feel better for just having that time
right.
for some self-care and some relaxation. So mm-hmm. if we start from there, what's the harm? That's beyond true. That, it's just like anything else. Like as long as you're open to it, it's going to be received. But kind of the same way. So there's, I've heard when I was first looking up some stuff about Reiki, there are people saying like, oh, you can't send someone Reiki unless they ask for it. Like you can't do it. It's not allowed. Mm-hmm. And where I got a little bit, where I questioned a little bit on that was, well, you can pray for somebody mm-hmm. without them asking. Doesn't mean it's going to be received. So why couldn't you send Reiki? Like it's the same thing in my mind. Like right. you're sending positive energy, you're sending love, you're sending good thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's essentially almost just another label. It's like, there's a different, obviously it's different physically right. what you're doing, but the end result in my mind is the same. And what I then learned through my actual Reiki course and what I believe is more true is that going back to, as long as you're open, it will be received. If you send someone Reiki and their higher self or their higher consciousness says, no, thank you, it's going to go away and it'll either return to you, or you can set the intention that it goes wherever else that it's needed for the highest good. You go into it with an open mind and you let whatever happens happen.
Then we'll see. I like that. So my podcast, I really like to talk about like prioritizing different passions. And I know mm-hmm. I could just tell from the way you talk about this, you're so passionate about it. Also, you have your own podcast about energy. And so like, you could just tell energy is something you are just so passionate about and helping others with that as well. And yeah. since you also teach fitness classes, that is like physical energy
right.
and taking care of your body. So how does it all go together? How is this like path for you kind of coming together as kind of your passions and prioritizing that energy?
Yeah. So I really believe that you've got to take care of your whole self, the whole mind, body, spirit thing. So mm-hmm. I was struggling a little bit in the beginning with, okay, how do I tie Reiki and fitness together? Like they seem so right. very different, but in my mind, it makes sense how they tie together. And I was struggling a little bit though, with how do I describe that? How do I talk about both of them in the same breath or in the same community and not have to keep them as two separate descriptions, two separate posts, two separate ideas, mm-hmm. because you need to take care of all of it. If one part of you is falling apart, it doesn't matter how much work you're doing on the other one. You gotta, you know, right. bring the part that's falling apart back together to find that balance. So part of rebranding my podcast actually helped me with that. I'm going to get into a whole lot of stuff here, but I'll keep it short. A few months ago, kind of fell into this thought that my broad purpose on this earth is to help other people raise their vibration and to remember who they are and what their purpose is, which seems very, very heavy, very broad, mm-hmm. very lofty.
Yeah.
But to me, that helped me to tie it all together, because when I teach my fitness classes, I feel like I'm helping people raise their vibration. I'm helping mm-hmm. them to have fun, to clear their mind, to then go out and do whatever it is that they do. Like, I've helped them in that moment physically, which then helps their mental and emotional health at the same time.
Absolutely.
And then of course with the Reiki, it has that obvious intention. Like that's mm-hmm. actually what we're going in to do. And so when I kind of realized that the through line for me was not so much confidence, where my podcast used to be called Rockstar Confidence. Mm. That's still an end goal, and that's still very much a part of it. But the categorizer that brings it all together is energy. You need to take care of your physical energy. You need to take care of your spiritual energy, and you need to take care of your mental energy. And through Reiki, meditation, and fitness, all of those things that I love and that I feel like I do well and that are part of my path to helping people, like, you've got to have all of those taken care of. And that those are my paths to help people raise their vibration and take care of their energy and their whole self.
Absolutely. Like, you did not just rebrand your podcast. You rebranded like your purpose and just wrapped it up in a nice bow. Like, it's perfect. I love that. I think that's so hard, especially people who are trying to find like their... I also just watched Soul. Have you seen it? The Disney movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So it looks good though.
They talk about purpose and stuff. And so people are, you know, looking for their purpose. And I think it's hard because sometimes you're also looking at things in the business space or something where it's like, you have to be really specific, really, really specific and really niche. And then sometimes it's easier to tie together the multiple pieces of who you are as, you know, something more broad, like energy,
a very
broad topic, but really all these things that you do work towards this big goal of raising vibration. So I love that. It's in such alignment and just really makes me happy that like it really does go together perfectly. And when you even say like, oh, it used to be Rockstar Confidence, I'm like, no, this is so much better. Like, this is perfect.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So I guess the last question I kind of want to ask is, why did you go into podcasting? Just because I also podcast, and so I like hearing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd actually thought about it for quite a few years before I did it. And I don't want to say it, I definitely wasn't afraid to do it because I've always been someone who loves being in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. I like being on stage. Like, I'm also a singer. I love to get up and perform. So like, you can add this to my resume too. My husband and I also do, we DJ weddings and I'm the MC.
Oh my gosh. So fun.
I have no problem getting on a mic, getting up in front of people. And I think I struggled with that whole idea of like, what's my purpose? What, you know, what would I talk about? And when I finally at least got my head around the confidence idea, I'm like, okay, I've got to start. I align with the idea of start messy, just mm-hmm. do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you're not going to know until you start. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna be able to figure out the rest of the path until you start. So I finally started doing it. And I also like, I felt like I was getting signs there too, because I was thinking a lot about back when I was a DJ for the radio station at my college. Mm-hmm. And I loved doing that. And I'd always thought about maybe getting into radio, but I don't know if I'd want the schedule that goes with it.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, this way I have my own show. I can talk about whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because of having the musician background and the DJing, we have all the equipment. My husband's an audio engineer, so he taught me how to do all the editing and stuff like that. So yeah, I just, another way to, I guess, more confidently put my message out there and reach people.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. And I like that you said, I kind of struggled at first and then I decided on confidence as kind of an overarching theme, because I see a ton of people starting podcasts and it's really awesome. And it's a really great creative field to get into, but you kind of have to have an idea of what you're going to talk about. And
right.
I see a lot of people too, who are, you know, we're really funny friends. We're going to start a podcast and like all these famous comedians do it. We can do it too. And it's like, they have been honing their craft for 20 years. It doesn't mean that you
right.
can't do it. It just means like, it takes a lot more of like organization sometimes. And like, you need a theme because mm-hmm. sometimes I'll go right. into it on a week. I'm like, what are we going to talk about this week?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we kind of honed in on like personal development stuff mostly. And
yeah.
then also talking to people who like you kind of prioritize their passion. One of the things, I guess that wasn't my last question. I have another one.
That's okay.
So, Reiki and fitness and your podcast and now DJing too. Like you're sounds like your life is just filled with all these things that you are really passionate about that really bring you joy. How did you make sure like that's what your life looks like rather than nothing against like a 9-to-5 job. Like that's amazing. That's mm-hmm. great. But how did you kind of fall into this? I wouldn't say fall in because I'm sure it's a lot of work to have all these things going on, but making this your life rather than, you know, a regular 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm. So I've gone through quite a few different jobs. And I remember hearing when I was little, some statistic about how the average person is going to have like 5 career changes when they, as they're older. And I remember thinking like, why?
Like, yeah.
Don't you pick what you're going to be when you grow up and then you go and you do that? Like I'm going to be a writer. I went to school for writing and then I added on theater and I should have added on music. And,
right.
and then I didn't really, like, I kind of did some of it, but not really. And then I thought I was going to go and be an actress and I never pursued that. And, and then, so I ended up in a couple of office jobs, some retail jobs. I've worked in restaurants mm-hmm. and the first thing for me was finding fitness. So I finally took the leap years ago to get certified as a group exercise instructor. Absolutely loved it. Got a little burned out at one point because I went a little too hard with it. I'm like, yeah. I love this. I want to teach every day. I want to find everywhere to teach all the time.
Fitness all the time. That's a lot.
And then I started like, okay, I don't want to go to teach half of these classes anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even looking forward to it. It's draining me because you got to be on. And like, so I started looking at like, okay, how can I be involved in fitness full time without having to physically teach all the mm-hmm. time? Cause that's just not realistic. That's not possible. And so that's when it took a while to take the leap for this too. I was still working in restaurants and back and forth mm-hmm. between that and, a couple office jobs here and there. But then I got certified as a personal trainer, mm-hmm. went to start working as a personal trainer. I then had another back and forth back to an office job and then back to personal training. And I honestly, I'm still kind of on the path. Like I'm not completely to where I want to be fully having my life designed, but I know I'm getting closer. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've found my path. I need to clear a few other things out of the way yet. Mm-hmm. But especially again, just getting older and realizing what is important in life and what's important to me. And then having kids and wanting to be there for my kids. Like when I was working in an office job, I hated that I literally only got a couple hours with my son every day mm-hmm. during the week. While I was working there, because, you know, you're sleeping at night, then you got to get up early in the morning,
yeah.
you go to work, you're there for 8 hours or so, and then you got a long drive home, mm-hmm. then you only get a couple hours before it's bedtime. And if you have anything else to do before bedtime, like that takes that away. So I'm like, okay, we got to find a better way here. There's got to be something else. So I've really just started, I guess, putting my foot down mm-hmm. on what's important to me and what's going to not only be viable as an idea, but is going to make me happy. Like I'm not going to be happy in an office job. Like I don't knock it there were aspects of it that I actually kind of enjoyed. I'm very much an organized person. I like all of that type of organizational stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't light me up. Like, I'm good at it, but it doesn't light me up, you know? Mm-hmm. It lights me up to know that I've made people happy, or that I've helped to make something more clear for them. And I don't want to say I'm happy when I make people cry during the Reiki sessions, but like that I'm able to help facilitate that release for them.
That's effective.
You know?
I guess I see what you're saying. You don't want to be happy that someone's crying, but at the same time, like, I'd feel satisfied. Like, something's happening. So
I'm really working towards growing that end of it. And it is starting to grow, and I'm seeing the effect that it's having, not just on the people that I'm helping, but on me. And then that's going to ripple into my family's life, my husband and my kids. And just, I feel it's not always about money. Like, right. You need money, you need to make money. Like, but that can't always be the primary focus, mm-hmm. you know? And it's hard, because especially when you do struggle, and then you have that kind of sense of lack, and like, when are things going to get better? And if I could just have this, I could just have that.
Right.
But then when you zone in and you figure out what lights you up and what you can do to really help people, and you thrive as much as possible in that energy, then rather than the energy of lack, that's when you start to draw all that stuff to you. And it's really hard to get into that place. Like, I'm not always in that place. I have days where I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
But the more you can live there, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you draw more of that positivity and that abundance to you. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that whole kind of journey, because I don't think a lot of people share that as much. Like, I was working an office job and doing fitness, and I was working at the restaurant and doing fitness and trying to figure it out. And it's like, sometimes mm-hmm. all these little pieces come together, and it seems like, from the outside perspective, sometimes like, oh, they just haven't figured out. Like, they just, you know, decided to, you know, be a fitness instructor, and they made it big. And, you know, it's like, wait a second, hold on. I did all this behind the scenes work. Hold on.
Yeah, I really don't like those stories where people are like, yeah, I was working in this job and I really hated it. So one day I just decided that I was going to do this. And then the next thing I knew, I'm like, I know that's not how it worked. Why don't
either
you share?
Either you're lying or you have really rich parents.
Like, at what point did you decide this, and how long did it actually take you before you quit your job? And then what happened there? Like, are you sure you had all your money in place? Like, did you struggle for a while? How many rejections did you get? How many times did you fail? How many times did you pivot and change paths? But like, this didn't happen in the stretch of, you know, even a couple months. Like,
right. No, that's
let's
not
be
how
honest
works.
Here. And, you know, let's share the real story so people know that they're not alone. Like, that there's not something magical about people who find their path and succeed. There is, in the sense that they just kept going for it. Like, that part of it is magical, but there's always struggles. There's not some just magic flip a switch, you're on Shark Tank, you get a deal, and now you're like a billion-dollar business. Like, it just does not work like that.
No. Well, thank you for sharing your journey and your passion and telling us about Reiki and energy and all these things. And also just talking about the fitness stuff a little bit as well, and how it all goes together. How can people find you, work with you, have a session with you, listen to your podcast? Tell me all the things. Where can everyone find you? You have a lot of things. So
I do have a lot of things. So the main hub, you can go to my website, carriejocala.com. There's right in the menu there, you can see the menu links for Reiki and a couple of like my meditations and my virtual fitness classes. You can find that there. And otherwise, if you just want to go directly to sign up for a session for Reiki, it's carriejocala.com/Reiki. And podcast is called The Energy Within. It's pretty much on any free podcast app. Right. I usually promote the Apple Podcast link, but any of those apps, it's available there. And then I hang out on Instagram. You can just look me up, Carrie_Jokala. And then I have a group on Facebook called The Energy Within. And in that group, I do a lot of group Reiki as often as I can, just over the live. And I've had a lot of people who, so even I can't see who is there with me.
Right.
So unless someone comments and I know that they're there, but people have had powerful experiences just from a group Reiki over a live session. So that's been really cool. And then I'll hop in and do live card pulls every once in a while. Mm. And then just sharing more of the journey and the story and some motivation in there as well.
That is so great. I will put all of those things in the show notes. So awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Carrie.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I hope you all enjoyed that conversation with Carrie. I know I enjoyed having it, and I am just so happy to have been able to share it with all of you. If you really loved this episode, share it with a friend. If it's something you've been interested in before, reach out to Carrie. She is just the kindest soul, and I have all of her links in the show notes, including her website, a link to her podcast. She has all kinds of links on there, so you can see her in all the different aspects of her life, including Reiki and fitness, and then the podcast. So hope you love this one. If you really did, always appreciate a 5-star or written review on Apple Podcasts. But wherever you listen to podcasts, just keep tuning in and sharing with friends, and have a great week and
party on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on. Thank you.